following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to The Leftovers, brought to you by the Underdog Sports Network, with Josh Dunn, Anshu Khanna, and Dan Bauer. Hello and welcome to The Leftovers. It is Monday, April 23rd. I'm Josh Dunn. I am joined by Dan Bauer. Dan, how are you on this Monday morning?
High of 69 degrees today in Cleveland. I cannot be more excited for summer.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, my friend. It was a long winter, but it looks like the weather's finally starting to turn. We're going to talk a lot of NBA playoffs on this show. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the baseball world, and I know you want to get to a little bit of hockey. And then Wednesday, we're going to have a draft special for you guys, obviously with the NFL draft starting on Thursday. A lot of implications this season with the NFL draft. There's a lot of big name quarterbacks, and I know we want to have our buddy Anshu on board to talk some NFL draft. So we'll do that for you guys on Wednesday. But for today, there was a lot of playoff basketball this weekend, a lot of exciting playoff basketball this weekend. A lot of the series is closed nearer for teams that look like they could potentially be out of it after the weekend. But let's just walk through the series and the games that took place on Saturday and Sunday one by one. And the first one we're going to talk about is Philadelphia against Miami. They go on the road and win game four. They now extend their lead to 3-1 in this series. This was a close game. We had another big one out of Dwayne Wade, who finished with 25 points. But getting Joel Embiid back seemed to be the difference in this one, Dan. Do you think the 76ers are just going to run through and finish this one off in five?
No, I don't think so, honestly. This Heat team is better than I think a lot of us gave them credit for. Me included, I thought Philly was just going to absolutely, I think I called a sweep, which I did a lot of, but clearly that's going to happen. I actually think the Heat might be able to steal one more. I don't foresee it going seven, but just with how well and how much of a battle this has been, I mean, all these games have been pretty close for the most part. So I think they can get one more before Philly just moves on to the second round.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I don't see it, though. I think that this Sixers team, now that they have Embiid back, I think they kind of clicked a little bit quicker than I thought they would getting him back. And even with his Phantom of the Opera mask, he was able to come out and have a big game for the Sixers. I like this Heat team. I think they've got a lot of promise in the future. Obviously, Dwayne Wade's been playing above his punching weight so far in these playoffs, especially in the two of the three games where he had 25 points or more. But I think the Sixers team is a lot better than this Heat team at this point, and Ben Simmons has looked like a future star and really kind of coming into his own as a current star. So I think Philadelphia pulls this one off, especially with it going back to Philadelphia. They have an opportunity to close out the series in front of their home crowd and then be really the first team in the East to move on and give themselves some rest before what looks like could be, a toss-up between Boston and Milwaukee, which we'll get to. But let's start with the West by talking about your New Orleans Pelicans. You correctly called the Pelicans beating the Blazers. I couldn't believe how poorly this Blazers team played throughout this series. But obviously when you have a bona fide superstar like Anthony Davis on your team, you have put yourself in an opportunity to win every game. But are you surprised at all that it was a sweep? I know that, after we saw the first two games, you thought that it could be, but I'm surprised that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum couldn't pull this team to at least get one win in front of their home crowd.
Definitely surprised a sweep. I mean, I was big on this Pelicans team, and I thought they had a chance to win the series. Never would I have expected a sweep. It obviously helps when between two guys you're getting 81 points, between Davis and Holiday on Saturday. That was, just absolutely absurd. And really coming, especially Davis coming into his own as a as you said, a bona fide superstar in this league. To your point, it is pretty surprising that, guys like McCollum and Lillard couldn't get you there. CJ did everything he could. Right? He had 38 points, but just not enough in an extremely high-scoring game. I mean, not a lot of defense going on in a game that's 131 to 123, but definitely a surprise. It's going to be really interesting to see just how far this Pelicans team can go. What do you think? What, now that you've seen the first round, how far do you think New Orleans can really go?
I think a lot of it depends on the health of Steph Curry. It looks like, even with a win, which we'll talk a little bit about, if Steph Curry can come back completely healthy in that series, it changes the narrative of that series. I think if he's still hurt or if he's slow to get back, I think the way Drew Holiday's played, the way Rajon Rondo has played in this series, you can't rule out this New Orleans Pelicans team. And, as much as I think that Golden State would walk away with it with Steph Curry back, like I said, I didn't expect them to beat this Trailblazers team with probably one of the best 1-2 guard combos in the league. But really, like I said, Drew Holiday, if he can keep playing the way he's been playing, I mean, he scored 30 in, I think, 3 of the 4 games in that series, which is pretty impressive. Rondo looks like the Rondo of old. He's still a mediocre shooter, but when he gets hot, he can make some buckets for you, and he's a great distributor and a good defender as well. So I like this Pelicans team a lot. I think that they came into their own about a year earlier than I expected them to. And, even with Boogie Cousins getting hurt early in the year and, being out for the year with the Achilles injury, this team looks like they can do some damage. And I wouldn't expect to see a sweep on either side in that series. And I'm really that's one of the series I'm probably was least excited about looking at the bracket and the way it could potentially shape out in the second round going into the playoffs. And now as the playoffs have moved along, it may be the one I'm most excited about on the Western Conference side. So it'll be an interesting series. I'm really excited and kind of motivated by the performance I've seen out of Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. But I don't know. We'll have to see. Obviously the Warriors still have some work to do. They couldn't complete the sweep of their own, which we'll talk about. But I think it could be a series for sure. Let's move on, though. Let's talk Timberwolves Rockets. This was another one that looked like it could potentially get away from Minnesota, but they come out and they have a big game led by Jimmy Butler. Derrick Rose looks good again. Karl-Anthony Towns seems to be finally figuring out his offensive game, and they hold James Harden in check. I mean, Harden still finishes with 29-7-7, but one of his worst shooting games in recent memory. Dan, is this going to be a series, or do you think that this was just one flash-in-the-pan win for the Timberwolves team?
Flash in the pan win for sure, but very impressed with them. As you mentioned, Derrick Rose has a game that we didn't expect. I mean, 17 from him, and maybe that's what this T-Wolves team really just needed was some veteran presence, some guys who really knew how to win. Again, I don't think that there's any chance that they can pull off a series or really even make it a series. They'd be very lucky to win one more. This Rockets team is the number one seed, and I don't think anybody's questioning at this point, especially their ability to get past everybody, including the Warriors, to get to the finals. So definitely a flash in the pan, but a good, fun team, and it's something that we'll keep an eye on for in the next couple of years of how they really develop. But it's going to be a fun one, so we'll see.
Yeah, I this is a series I had going 6 before the playoffs started, and I think I'm going to stick with that. I mean, they did have, like I said, a great performance out of their stars, did the Timberwolves. They have 28 from Butler. Jeff Teague has 23. Andrew Wiggins has 20, and Towns has 18. Like I said, D. Rose finishes with another solid performance with 17, kind of looking like the Derrick Rose of old, moving well. Staying healthy is the main thing with him. But you're not going to see this poor of a performance from the Rockets again, I don't think. Chris Paul ended up fouling out toward the end of the game in this one, and really they didn't get any support from their supporting cast. Eric Gordon had struggled mightily from the field. He was 5 of 16 in this game, and they only had four players over double figures, but not the ones that you would hope would contribute. I think the Rockets still win this one. I'm going to say they win it in 6. I could see the Timberwolves getting another one here at home. The crowd was really raucous and into it, but I think that once the reality sets in, they end up finishing the series off, and I think, like I said, it goes 6 at best. Oklahoma City and the Jazz, this has been the most, in my opinion, the most fun series to watch. The Jazz win this one. They pull away at the end. Ricky Rubio finished with a triple-double. That was the biggest surprise in this game to me. But Oklahoma City, they just can't seem to find a consistent way about things. They are looking like a team that could go all the way in one game, and then in the next they look like a team that should be an 8 seed. So obviously this is kind of the way the West looked this year. You had a lot of movement in the standings, and this is what you see from an Oklahoma City team when they're not at their best. Were you surprised at all that the Jazz were able to pull ahead here?
Yeah, definitely surprised. I mean, I know it's a team that Anshu especially has been really high on all year. Is the Jazz and thought that there was a chance that they could pull out a series win. And, you know, it's looking more and more like it. You mentioned it. This Thunder team is just the absolute Jekyll and Hyde, probably of this entire playoffs at this point. You know, over the weekend, obviously Russell Westbrook couldn't get into anything, and that's going to hurt you. If they're going to win this series, you know, Russ has to be a guy that's putting up 30 points a game, I think, and he was less than half of that on Saturday. So definitely, you know, if the Thunder can't find some consistency, I think the Jazz are going to run away with this series, which I didn't expect at the start of this thing that anybody would be running away. I thought this was going to be one of the better series. This was going to go 6 or 7. And at this point, if the Thunder can't, you know, again, keep it some consistent play, the Jazz are going to be moving on.
Yeah, it is interesting to see how poorly Russell Westbrook has been shooting in these playoffs. I think he'll eventually figure it out, and he made a comment about Rubio's performance and saying that he won't have another game like that in this series. But Donovan Mitchell obviously is the rookie everybody's been talking about other than Ben Simmons. We had a conversation about whether or not Ben Simmons is a rookie, but officially I believe he is. So, but Donovan Mitchell and if Ricky Rubio can keep it up, and you know they get some performances out of guys like Jay Crowder off the bench. You know, Joe Ingles is a great shooter at times. He finished with 21 in this game. Derek Favors, you know, a solid big. And then we've talked a lot about Rudy Gobert, who finished with 18 points and 12 boards in that contest. You know, it could be interesting because if the Jazz can get, you know, steal one more game here in game four tonight, they could potentially pull away in this series and come away with it, which I don't think a lot of people expected to see Oklahoma City go down, but I think you'll get a spirited performance out of Russell Westbrook, and that's what they're going to need to win. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony missed a couple of, you know, easy shots in this one down the end and toward the end of the game and in game two as well. And, you know, that's really what you need Carmelo Anthony to be able to go out there and do. You sign a guy who's later in his career, who's got a lot of experience in the playoffs in both, you know, regular season as well as a former, you know, MVP candidate, and he just has not had it. So Paul George has played well in this series, but he's not going to be able to do it alone, and, you know, they need the role players to come out and show out as well. So hopefully we do see a 7-game series. This was one I thought was going to go 7 either way. Like I told you guys on a previous show, I had the Utah Jazz initially in 7, and then I switched it at the last minute to Oklahoma City. I still think they could win this series, but they got to figure things out for sure. On Sunday, 4 more games for you guys. So the early games, we had Spurs-Warriors. First game of the day actually was Celtics-Bucks, so let's start there. This was the best game of the weekend, in my opinion. The Bucks, they had a couple times there where the Celtics hit a big three. I know Rozier hit one. Jaylen Brown had a huge game. He had a couple big shots down the stretch, finished with 34. But the Bucks were able to get a put-back tip with just a couple seconds left on the clock from Giannis Antetokounmpo to win this one and pull the series even at 2. I mean, Dan, the Celtics looked like they were going to run away and maybe even sweep the Bucks, and the Bucks have just fought, and they played excellent defense down the stretch. This has been such a fun series. I cannot wait to see where this one ends up.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of as I was watching this was, I think this was the game that was Giannis's coming out party. I mean, obviously, if you are a fan of basketball, you know who he is, but a more casual fan who's watching this game, you know, may not have really even known who he was, and he absolutely played his butt off. He was really taking control, taking shots when he needed to, and it felt like he was becoming the superstar that, you know, we've all known he was going to be for the past, you know, 2 or 3 years. So, you know, excited to see where he goes, kind of the confidence, especially with his play, and just if he can elevate, you know, we've talked about this with other sports and on other shows, you know, the believing that you can beat anybody is sometimes more important than maybe even having the actual ability to do it. So if he can come out and he can have the swagger that, you know, on some level you need to be a truly great NBA superstar, take over a game kind of guy, this might have been the game that we look back in his career and say, this is the one where he figured it all out.
Yeah, two things really stood out to me in this game when you look at Boston, and both of them kind of look back to Kyrie Irving getting hurt and having that surgery that ended his year. So Terry Rozier has been awesome so far in these playoffs in the first 3 games. He finishes 3 of 12 with only 10 points. So Terry Rozier, I mean, you're going to need better play out of your point guard, but obviously this is a guy who's been playing, again, another guy punching above his playing weight and just didn't really have it. The other one that stood out was at the end of the game, they're down by 2. And they choose to have Marcus Morris take the last shot. He was 4 of 13 going into that last shot. He finishes the game 4 of 14 with 13 points. But when you have a guy like Kyrie Irving in your lineup, you there's no doubt who's going to be taking the last shot of the game. And with Kyrie out, having Marcus Morris be that guy, that completely changes the game for Boston. And obviously it was a nicely contested shot, but Morris couldn't get it to go, and you know there was question as to whether or not it was a foul. But I can't imagine, you know, the difference that is for a team when you have, you know, either a Kyrie Irving who's made, you know, game-winning shots in the NBA Finals, or Marcus Morris who's been a role player his entire career. That really stood out to me. And I've talked a lot about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They both played excellent in this game. These are two guys who were extremely young. They're both very athletic. They both looked great. But you just when you lose your star like that, it's going to be tough to win a series, even when you are going up against the seven seed and they're one of the younger teams, more of an up and coming team. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo is definitely a bona fide star at this point. And, you know, Chris Middleton, he's nothing to shake a stick at either. He had 23 in this one. He was 3 of 5 from 3. He's hit some big shots. He's had, you know, a great series so far. Jabari Parker's played well. Eric Bledsoe's the guy that I think is going to be the difference maker if the Bucks are going to end up coming away with this series. You know, this has been the hardest fought series probably in this playoff so far. And I think if they're going to win in Milwaukee, that is, Eric Bledsoe's going to need to play better.
Yeah, and you know, the way that the Bucks are playing at this point, I think they are going to pull this thing out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, that's a big series because the winner of this series plays Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is the hottest team in the East right now. So, it's another one I'm keeping a close eye on and I'm having fun with, and I love the way this series has played out so far. Hopefully, the Bucks can keep this competitive and at least, you know, make this game go seven. Another team that was fighting for their playoff lives here, the San Antonio Spurs. They finally get a win. Obviously, Popovich has stepped away from the team in the wake of his wife passing away within the last few days here. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to Popovich. But the Spurs are able to finally get a W in this series. They've played tough against the Warriors, but we've talked about this series a little bit. And Golden State just seems to pull away down the stretch. But the Spurs did a really good job of fending off this Warriors team at the end. They played awesome defense. The older guys looked like they had, you know, taken a couple years off of their lives and played to their youth. But big game from LaMarcus Aldridge. They're able to kind of contain Kevin Durant, who still finished 34-13. But love seeing this Spurs team keep this series alive. Do you think, again, this seems kind of like another one that could be just a one-and-done for the Spurs, but it's nice to see them get a win in front of their home crowd.
Yeah, I think this was one of those win one for the Gipper kind of, you know, band together to win one for your coach when he needed it most. So I'm going to chalk it up to that and not anything more. You know, going back to Golden State, I think this one's over in five.
I will say, though, you know, we talked a lot about the whole Kawhi mystery saga, and, you know, it does make you think. If they had Kawhi Leonard in this series, and you know, back to the when he gets injured, when Zaza Pachulia steps on his ankle, and they're, you know, kind of in control at that point against Golden State, if reminding me of that a little bit, if they have Kawhi Leonard in this series, it completely changes things for me. I just wish that things would have happened a little bit differently, and unfortunately for the Spurs, it hasn't. But it was, like I said, nice to see them win one. I've loved the play out of Rudy Gay in these playoffs. He's you know, a guy who's been. Usually he's the star on his team. He was a star in both Sacramento and Memphis. And Rudy Gay's never really played for a playoff contender or this good of a team. And it's just unfortunate that he doesn't have his leader in Kawhi Leonard there to help this team try to win this series. But again, you know, they win one. They finish with a 13-point victory at home. They'll go back to Golden State. And you know that Golden State crowd is going to be ready to get this team to close out this series. But the role players just did not get it done. Iguodala with only 4 points. Draymond Green finishing with 9 on 4 of 14 shooting. Klay Thompson even had a poor outing on 4 of 16 from the field in this game. So, you know, Golden State, if they play another game like that, they could lose. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, there's no chance.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
No shot.
The final game before the one I really wanted to talk about was Washington and Toronto, and this was a game that, again, very fun down the stretch. This slate of playoff games this weekend was the most entertaining by far. of these playoffs. But DeMar DeRozan with a big performance, 35 points. John Wall finishes with 27 and 14, and he had some big shots down the stretch. The big thing here that stood out to me was Bradley Beal getting fouled out on a very questionable call. He snaps. I don't know if you were watching this one, Dan, but Bradley Beal, I mean, he threw his mouthpiece, picked it back up, threw it again. He was screaming at the refs. I'm surprised they didn't tee him up. I mean, that could have completely changed the complexion of this game down the stretch, but the Wizards are able to close it out there at the end, and they win it by 8. This is a series again, too. This one's now knotted at 2-2, and Washington's a team we talked about. They're probably better than an 8 seed. They get John Wall back after being hurt for a while, and they look like they could be a team that, again, could knock off this Raptors team who just struggles to get over the hump in the playoffs.
Yeah, a series that none of us really thought was going to be much of one. You know, like you said, it might end up being the best one of the whole first round. You know, I fully expect at this point that this thing goes the full 7. You know, if you're going to get performances like that out of John Wall and Bradley Beal, I mean, this Wizards team is going to be very dangerous, and you know, potentially could pull an upset. You mentioned it. I mean, John Wall, 14 assists. You know, that is, you know, an unreal game for him, and it's exactly what this team is going to need to continue to win. You know, ideally they spread it out a little bit more. I mean, you can't continue to count on John Wall and Bradley Beal to put up 50 points between the two of them a game realistically. I don't think over the next three, but you know, if some of these other guys can step up, you know, Porter especially, then they may actually have a shot to pull this thing out. I mean, I'm surprised with how poorly this Raptors team has played. I mean, they're, you know, we were spent time before the playoffs talking about how realistic it was that they could, you know, pretty easily win the East, even getting past Cleveland with playoff LeBron. And now there's a chance they don't even get out of that first round, which would be, you know, just an absolutely crazy upset and something you're not used to seeing in the NBA. You know, you're used to, you know, some crazy upsets maybe in an NHL first round, but generally just does not happen in the NBA. So, you know, wasted performance for DeRozan. I think you mentioned that. I mean, he had 35, but just not enough to get past the Wizards.
Yeah, and 14 of those 35 were at the free throw line. We know DeRozan likes to attack the basket, but he didn't really have a great shooting night. He was 10 of 29. Him and Kyle Lowry were really the only ones that provided any offense for this Raptors team. And, you know, again, we talked about this with other teams. If they're going to make this a series, and obviously it is a series, but if they're going to be able to pull away and win this series, they're going to need better performances out of their role players. And the thing with these two teams that with me is both of them, you know, neither really got much better when you look at their last couple years. They both have the same, you know, supporting cast that they've had around them. You know, the Wizards' biggest offseason move was re-signing Otto Porter to a max contract. And Otto Porter's a guy that, you know, he has not looked like a max contract guy in these playoffs. He only had 12 points yesterday. You know, they're going to need to step it up. And, you know, Kyle Lowry's hit big shots in the past. I think you're going to need him and DeRozan to continue doing what they're doing, but you're going to need guys like Serge Ibaka and CJ Miles and, you know, Jonas Valanciunas. You're going to need guys like that to step up and have better performances if you're going to look like the number one seed that you came into these playoffs as, and, you know, really the convincing number one seed in this season. So, you know, it's going to be a fun series as we look forward, but I think it's a coin flip at this point. I honestly, if you asked me at the beginning of the series, I would have said Toronto in 6. If you ask me now, I say this game goes 7 and flip a coin. Whoever has the ball in their hands on the last possession and is able to make a big shot wins this one. So I, as much as I, you know, love series like this, I like seeing it, because if the Cavs can sneak away and win the series of their own, you know, you'd like to see the team that you're going up against to have played just as many games as you, if not more. So we'll keep an eye on that one. It's close to our hearts because we want to know who, you know, could potentially face the Cavs. But the Cavs, you know, they struggled to get themselves to even in this series, Dan, and they looked very bad down the stretch. This game was very reminiscent of game 3, where they were up by 17 points at halftime and then they choke away the lead and end up blowing it and losing by 2. In this one, they were able to, you know, to stave off the Pacers and win game 4 to even the series, but it was not pretty, to say the least.
No, and the issues that we've talked about all season for this team are rearing their ugly head in the playoffs. It's the inability to close out games, the inability to play defense, you know, especially in the third quarter. You know, this has been their issue all along. You know, they do not look good. I mean, it's a 2-2 series, but it feels like it's a 3-1 series. You know, nice to see guys like Korver step up as 18 points. You know, LeBron just, the Pacers are just in his head, and it's, you know, every game it's getting worse and worse and worse, and you can see it in his body language, and it's just not good. It's if they continue to just be able to mess with them, who knows what happens down the end. The Pacers have a great game just all around. They pulled a page out of the Loyola playbook that we talked a lot about during the NCAA tournament, right? Of just everybody stepping up, everybody being in double figures. You had, I believe, 7 or 8 guys in double figures for the Pacers. And so, if they can continue to do that, spread the ball around, they may be able to pull this thing out. Cavs do not look great right now.
Yeah, 7 of the 9 players that saw minutes in this game with double figures for the Pacers. You know, I really thought the Cavs were going to lose this game, and there's a couple things that stand out in this game. Kevin Love gets into foul trouble very early, 2 fouls within the first 90 seconds of the game, spends a lot of the game on the bench, and then could never find his rhythm. He finishes with 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting and 0 of 3 from 3-point range. You expect Kevin Love to be your other star. He was an all-star this year. He's been an all-star pretty much his entire career. But with a performance like that and, you know, getting into foul trouble, that you just can't have that, especially when you have, you know, George Hill, who was injured and doesn't play in this game. And really, you know, guys did not step up. LeBron played 46 minutes. He was 0 of 5 from 3. Luckily, he was able to will this team to victory with some big shots down the stretch, you know, your traditional and LeBron driving to the hoop style. But, you know, these other guys really need to step up, Dan. And I worry about this team if they can sneak away from this Pacers team in this series. You know, they're going to go home for game 5. They've got the home court advantage back. Hopefully they'll get George Hill back and Kevin Love can stay out of foul trouble and they can right the ship. But it's just, it's disheartening to see against a team like this Indiana Pacers team who's you know, a younger team who's got a lot of energy and they're, you know, you could tell the momentum in this series tends to shift to their favor in crunch time. And you just, that you want it to be the opposite. So, It was excellent to see the Cavs steal one at home, especially in a game where they didn't shoot the ball that well. They were 35% from 3. Thank God for Kyle Korver. He hits 4 of 9 from the 3-point range to finish with 18. Like you mentioned, hit a couple big free throws down there toward the end of the game, as did Jeff Green, who got in a little scuffle with Lance Stephenson. But like you said, I think this Pacers team is a little bit in LeBron's head. They're a little bit in the Cavs' head. And I've talked about, you know, Tyronn Lue being a mediocre coach a lot this season. He proved that in so many different cases yesterday. The lineups that were on the floor were not working. They looked bad. He doesn't, you know, tell guys like Jordan Clarkson to distribute the ball, who I can't stand watching this guy. He's good when he's on, and he was 5 of 9, so not a horrible game. But there were a couple shots he took where it's just like, what the hell are you doing, Clarkson? And I hate seeing that. Rodney Hood was inconsistent again. It's tough to watch this team because they're so disjointed at times. And I just hope that they can figure things out in game 5 so they can take a lead in this series. If they win game 5, I think I'm going to go to Indianapolis for game 6.
Nice. Did you see the picture of Ty Lue in that one timeout that he was like not even in the huddle? Like he was just peering over top, like trying to see what, assuming LeBron was drawing up in the huddle.
And isn't that, it's just so pathetic when you see stuff like that, because, you know, this is a guy who's got an NBA championship. Obviously a lot of that has to do with the team that he had at his disposal, but it's just crazy to me that you have a coach that's kind of just seems like he doesn't care at times. And really almost everybody on the team has that body language at times in this series. And it's almost like they expect to win. You know, this is a team that didn't play well on the road this year. They were 21-20 away from the queue. And you know, it showed in these first 2 games here in Indiana against the Pacers. But again, you know, they even the series, and regardless of how ugly it's looked, they have an opportunity to win this one in 6 or potentially 7. So I hope they can figure it out. I think their worst basketball is behind them. You can't have LeBron playing 46 minutes in a game again in this series, in my opinion. You've got to get the role players. Hopefully George Hill gets back. Hopefully Kevin Love, like I said, stays out of foul trouble. But good Lord, they need to figure it out and figure it out quick. But yeah, more basketball to come. The playoffs will roll on here tonight. Like I said, we're going to talk NFL Draft Wednesday and probably a little playoffs as well. But this first round's been fun, and we'll be bringing you all of the news and all of the, you know, the recaps of what's going on here in the playoffs. But I did want to talk a little bit of baseball today. So Dan, we had our first no-hitter of the season. Sean Manea out in Oakland gets a no-no, and it's the first one against Boston in 25 years. First of all, how impressive is it to do this against this Boston team who's been hitting the ball extremely well this season? And then, you know, again, just how impressive is it to see this Sean Manea, who a lot of people has never heard of, come away with a no-hitter here early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, good for him. It's only his third year in the pros, and been kind of an average pitcher so far. It went 7-9 in his rookie year in 2016, 12-10 last year, currently 3-2 right now, and overall those with a 3.81 ERA. So, I mean, it's not like you're throwing Pedro out there. So, good for him for pulling this out. It was extremely surprising. You mentioned it. This Red Sox team looks like they are hitting everything with a beach ball and a tennis racket lately. So, very surprised. But that's the great thing about baseball is, no matter how good, someone can have their day. And if you're on, and even the one of the worst teams in the league can beat one of the best ones. So, completely surprised. And, I don't think it'll hurt Boston too much. I think it's a fluke, a little fluky game, but it was to be fair, he got saved on a couple calls that probably should have been ruled as hits. And he got a little bit lucky on a couple of those. But, when you're throwing a no-hitter, sometimes you need a little bit of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. I was impressed, to see this. He's a guy who pitched against the Sox this year and had some good stuff. It's crazy to see him do it against Boston, who, it's been 25 years since somebody no-no'd him, and, they've been hitting the ball so well this year. So congrats to Sean Manea. The White Sox, just wanted to touch on the Danny Farquhar incident. He has a brain hemorrhage in the dugout during the game. He underwent brain surgery just a few days ago here, and he's under the doctors are keeping a close eye on him, I should say, and it's just a sad story there. He's still in critical condition, but we hope the best for Danny Farquhar, one of the relievers here in Chicago. So I just wanted to mention that. There was a couple other things here in baseball so far. So the Chris Bryant thing, had a lot of people worried. He gets hit by a pitch in the head, but it seems to be that he's okay. Dan, did you get a chance to see that? I mean, that was a crazy turn of events there as one of the better youngsters in the league getting hit by that pitch, and a lot of Cubs fans were worried for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was scary. His helmet went just absolutely spinning. It's why you've seen a lot of those guys starting to wear that extra little protection over top of their chin. That might not have saved him in that instance because it might have still kind of perfectly fit in there, but it would have been close. So you may see him be added to the list of guys who wear that little extra protection on their helmet. But pretty scary, and hopefully he's okay and he'll come back on this. But it's one of those things that hopefully it doesn't kind of haunt him. I mean, mentally, once something like that happens, there's guys who can just kind of ignore it, forget it, and sometimes there's guys who, that's going to be in the back of their mind every time a ball gets kind of up in that direction. So hopefully it doesn't affect his play long term as one of the premier young hitters in the game. It'd be a shame to see something like this really mentally affect his ability to hit at the plate.
Yeah, glad to hear he's okay. Just real quick, the American League leaders, the usual suspects, Boston, Cleveland, and Houston. But on the National League side, a few surprises. We've got the Mets, who are still out there getting it done. They are only 5-5 in their last 10, so they've come back to earth a little bit. But them and the Phillies in a tight race out there in the East, and really the Nationals have been a surprise at 10-12. They've eventually got to figure things out because this is, again, a team, people talked about maybe being a World Series contender, and they don't look like it so far. In the Central, you've got St. Louis and Milwaukee fighting things out. Pittsburgh has come back down to earth, and Chicago Cubs trying to get things together as they are just 10-9 on the year so far. And then looking at the West, Arizona with a four-game lead on the Rockies. The Dodgers not looking great at 500 so far this year. So the American League almost looks like what you expected it to. National League with some surprises. It's very early in the season, but it's kind of fun to look at where you're at and see where you can go. So a lot to be decided here in this early baseball season, but it's been fun so far, and we'll be watching it as it goes along. Went a little long on the show. Dan, just wanted to get your oh by the way, and I'll give a quick one before we let our listeners get back to their Monday.
Yeah, real quick, just going to touch on some hockey over the weekend, keep that theme going. Sunday, Penguins finish off the Flyers 8-5, win that series 4-2. Predators finish off the Avalanche, also win it 4-2. They win 5-0 yesterday. Saturday's games, Lightning beat the Devils to finish that series off as well. Bruins lose to the Maple Leafs. Toronto doing everything they can to hold on to the series 3-2 series there. And, you know, that could be one that goes seven, could be really fun. Capitals, Blue Jackets, Capitals get a 4-3 win on Saturday, leading the series 3-2, and another overtime game. I believe every single one of these games has gone to overtime so far, which is just insane that you're playing that much hockey. And no matter who comes out of this series, you are going to be absolutely exhausted, especially if you continue to advance by the time you hit a Stanley Cup game, if that continues to happen. So pretty interesting to just keep an eye on that. But a fun couple of games left for Caps, Blue Jackets, and Bruins, Maple Leafs. So keep tuned into that one.
Yeah, definitely. Wanted to just mention Brandon Belt setting an MLB record with 21 pitches. He fouled off 16 straight. Unfortunately for Belt, he didn't end up getting a hit in the at-bat. He ended up lining out to right field. But that's pretty impressive. The at-bat lasted almost 13 minutes. It was 21 pitches, which, again, is an MLB record, and that's a lot, a long time to be up at the plate. So just nice of him to see Brandon Belt hanging in there for the Giants, and unfortunately, like I said, not getting a hit. But it's funny, the record that he breaks was Ricky Gutierrez, and guess who the pitcher was in that at-bat, Dan? Still
only
in the league.
Bartolo Colon.
You got it. Wow. What a great guess. I can only imagine how you guessed that. But still, that's kind of crazy. 1998, Bartolo Colon, he's still in the league. He's still starting in the MLB today. So just kind of fun when you see stats like that. But that's going to do it for us. We will see you guys on Wednesday. Again, that's going to be our draft preview show. We will have Anshu back. We look forward to you guys listening. For Dan Bauer, I'm Josh Dunn. This has been The Leftovers.